Welcome to the Outdoor Biz Podcast, your home for inspiring conversations with outdoor insiders. Each week, author, speaker, adventurer, and outdoor industry veteran Rick Saez talks in-depth with iconic brand founders, sales and marketing pros, product designers, and industry rising stars. Listen in when Rick's guests offer actionable advice to land your ideal industry gig and grow your outdoor career. Catch us again when the conversation shifts to the hottest outdoor products, destinations, and the latest industry insights.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
And now, here's Rick.
Welcome to episode 313 of the Outdoor Biz Podcast with John McKinney, founder of HR Outfitter. John has built an HR resource and team of professionals with experience in the outdoor industry and a love for adventure. John walks us through how they provide outdoor recreation companies with innovative HR consulting and staffing solutions so you can focus on running your business, whichever segment of the outdoor recreation industry you're in. Welcome to the show, John.
Hey, Rick. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing this morning? I guess it's not morning where you're at, though, right? Mid-morning?
It's mid-morning. It's pretty good here. I'm actually in the Houston, Texas area.
Oh, so. I thought you were in the Midwest for some reason. Houston, okay.
Yes, just south of Houston, close to Galveston.
Gotcha.
So, right
gotcha.
On the coast.
All right. Now, are you an Astros fan? Are you guys bummed that the Astros didn't win the World Series?
I just moved here about a year and a half ago from Chattanooga, Tennessee, which is really close to Atlanta. So, either way, I was going to be happy.
Yeah, you're
win,
good either
right?
way. That's a good spot to be. Right, good for you.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So, let's start off with how you were introduced to the outdoors.
Yeah, so I grew up in a town called Murfreesboro, Tennessee, which is just south of Nashville. And my dad was a huge component in kind of getting me into the outdoors. When he grew up, he and all of his brothers were Eagle Scouts with the Boy Scouts of America. And so when I was young, he would take me out camping every now and then. And then when I turned 11, I actually got involved with a local Boy Scout troop. And it was fantastic and really changed my life and my perspective on the outdoors. The troop had been around for a long time, a very long time, and they went camping once a month, right?
Oh.
So they weren't just a troop that focused on knots and badges and things like that,
yeah,
but they actually
the
got outdoors.
Yeah, check the box, get
yeah.
the badge. You actually got outside. That's cool.
Yeah, once a month we either went backpacking or canoeing and did overnight trips. And then in the summers, we did a week-long high adventure trip, whether it be hiking the Appalachian Trail. We went out to New Mexico and did a two-week backpacking trip once.
Wow.
And so that was really in my early development years what got me in the outdoors.
That's pretty exciting.
And then when I was – yeah, it was – fantastic. I know people have a lot of different experiences with the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts, but the troop that I was a part of was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it comes down to the troop leader and the troop. And, you know, some are good and some are bad, like anybody.
Correct. And then when I was in college, I took my love for the outdoors and actually decided to work as a, which kind of got me into the industry. Mm-hmm. So there's a a company called Northern Tier High Adventure, which is associated with the Scouts. And they are the largest wilderness canoe outfitting organization in North America. They're headquartered in Ely, Minnesota, the Boundary Waters. And they have about 200 guides that work for them. And they are taking people out on 6 to 12 day wilderness trips in the Boundary Waters, in Ontario, whenever you cross into the Canadian border. And they also have 2 satellite locations in Canada as well, which I've worked at as well. And so I was there for 5 seasons working for them, 3 as a wilderness guide. And then I transitioned into a trail staff manager and training coordinator for all their staff. And that was during the summer times, right, while I was in school.
So you were going to college while you were or high school?
Yeah. So I was going to college. Gotcha. And in the summers I was working for Northern Tier. And then during the school year, I worked for a company called the Adventure Guild in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And they do, they have a rock climbing wall that they operate and aerial adventure courses. So for lack of better terms, I was a ziplining guide in the spring and the fall with them. And then I also worked for the university outdoor program, as well as a trip leader, climbing wall staff, and in their student like gear rent section where students could rent out tents and kayaks and everything. And then I even spent a little bit of time working with the Girl Scouts running a canoeing program with them.
What'd you get a degree in? Sorry.
So I got my degree. Well, I have a couple degrees, but the first one, I got my bachelor's degree, 2 degrees. So I got a bachelor's degree in business administration. Mm-hmm. But then I also got a second bachelor's degree in human resources management.
Okay. Great. Right.
Yeah. And then I later went back and I got my MBA, master's in business administration, with a concentration in human resources. I'm not doing school.
Done with school.
Spent enough time in school.
Right. Yeah, that was a lot of school.
I'm out and about.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I thought you were headed. I did something similar. I didn't get into college the way you did, but out of college, I had to take a internship at an outdoor school, which was pretty fun. But in school, halfway through, I discovered the Outdoor Rec program and became president of the Recreation Society on campus and didn't work at the outing stuff, but was a tag along and helped them with all that stuff. So that's how I discovered that you could get a degree in outdoor rec and you could go get a job in outdoor rec. And that was a path I thought you were heading down, but it sounds like you did a little of both. And you still obviously are in the outdoor space. So you're well prepared for both of those activities.
My passion is with the outdoor industry. And that's what I did while I was in college as a job to help get through college.
Right.
But then all my schooling was specific, you know, to business. But I took a few extra, you know, curricular recreation classes for fun, just to kind of get more of a structured learning experience in recreation.
And so out of college, where did you get your HR chops? You obviously must have had some HR jobs before you started HR Outfitter.
Yeah. So when I worked at Northern Tier, I was there for 5 seasons working for them. And at the end of my time working for them was when I was at the end of my bachelor's degree. And so I'd worked my way into a trail staff management role and a training coordinator role, which in a lot of non-outdoor companies, training is actually an area of human resources.
Oh, pretty significant.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that was really my first introduction into an HR job was handling 2-week training programs multiple times throughout the summer for a total of 200 employees that we trained. And then I ended up working as an intern with the local city government. It was the city of Chattanooga. And I worked a lot on employee compensation plans from like a strategic aspect with the company as a whole, which had 2,500 employees. And at the end of my internship, they kept me around because of my love for HR analytics and I guess knowledge with Excel and statistics. And so they kept me around and I was brought on as a new position, which was called an HR project specialist. So I reported directly to the director of human resources and I dealt a lot with the mayor's office in different government-wide programs that we were implementing, right? Whether it was employee relations or benefits or adapting the organization for new federal laws that were coming out.
Oh, but that was pretty interesting.
And so I dealt a lot. Yeah, that was a fantastic experience because I wasn't doing
the traditional
entry-level paperwork, right?
Right,
I was in meetings with the different department leaders. I helped lead a department reorganization, right?
Wow.
And that department had 600 employees in it.
Wow.
You know, I was doing it all with our HR director, but I was doing a lot of the legwork, the research and designing, and then working alongside them in our mayor's office to implement it, right?
What a great experience.
Yeah, and then from there, I actually got hired on as an HR generalist. I was the youngest HR generalist at government entities ever hired. And so I actually got assigned to where I handled everything human resources for a handful of different departments.
Gotcha.
And so I dealt with youth and family development, which actually had a recreation piece inside of it. Mm-hmm. And they had an economic outdoor program, a part of it called Outdoor Chattanooga.
Gotcha.
And then they also had their therapeutic recreation as well, which was helping people with special needs get out and, you know, go kayaking and things like that.
Yeah, those were, those,
and so
you probably had the same four disciplines that I had in outdoor rec when I went to school. It was outdoor, it was commercial, it was therapeutic,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm drawing a blank on the fourth one. But there were you could choose four disciplines, and obviously I chose outdoor. But yeah, it was you probably dabbled in all of them.
Yeah. So I did that with the city of Chattanooga for a while. There was an opportunity, a very large private security company that's headquartered in Chattanooga, Tennessee, where they were hiring a regional human resources manager. And I'd known someone at the company. They knew that I was pretty skilled, master's degree.
Did it all. Yeah, he's
all
done everything.
Really great experience with the city.
Right.
Yeah. And so they reached out to me to interview for the position, and I interviewed for it. And the next thing I knew, I was a human resources manager that led a team of four different human resources professionals made up of administrative team members to an HR generalist and some recruiters. And we managed a 7-state region with over 600 employees. And the security industry is crazy. You know, it was very rewarding, and I learned a lot, but it is very fast paced. The security industry as a whole has very high turnover, employee turnover, and we sat lower than our competition when it comes to turnover, and we sat at about probably 87%. So when you're looking at an 87% employee turnover with 600 employees, that's about, you know, 500 employees you have to hire in a year.
Yeah, you're hiring. Right? Yeah, you're hiring all the time. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And so there was a huge emphasis on recruiting and employee relations, because when you have that many employees, you have a lot of problems you deal with, right? Because people bring their problems to work with them.
Yeah, I can relate to that.
And yeah, so I worked there for a handful of years, and then relocated to the Houston area with my wife. She's going to medical school right now. And when we moved here, that's when I decided I'm going to open up my own business.
You just wanted to freelance or what?
Yes.
Okay.
So growing up, even when I was in high school, I always wanted to own my own business.
Gotcha.
My dad, he was the president for a company. And so I've always been in the business realm of life. And so I always wanted to open up my own business, but then I got really involved in human resources, which is great because it's the strategic leadership of your people and how it supports business needs. I decided I'm going to open up my own business, and I want it to be with the outdoor industry, right? Because from my time working with a handful of different outdoor programs, I learned that, you know, typically there's not a dedicated HR professional at the organization unless it's someone that's just been around a while and they're just doing the paperwork. Right?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, not only not a dedicated HR professional, not an HR professional. So here, you do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I realized that there was a huge need in the industry, because when you look at a lot of the organizations, what this industry is it's focused based on people. And so I dealt a lot with guiding when I was in school and with camps.
Mm-hmm.
And your product are your people that provide experiences. And you can have great gear that you give to the people that you outfit, but at the end of the day, the guide is going to be such a huge component of their experiences. And a lot of these companies could use a human resources strategic partner to help them out with that, because it is the outdoor industry. People are your product, at least in my opinion.
A lot of outdoor industry businesses like that are not, they're not bringing in millions of dollars. So they have to be pretty mindful of their staff, and they don't want to hire a full-time HR person or a full-time accounting. They kind of split those roles amongst other people. No, you're right.
Yeah. And I saw that the industry, and I was like, man, I can mix my profession with my passion and really help these companies thrive when it comes to their people and helping the executive leadership at these organizations. And I've actually been thinking about that company for a while, but then when I moved, I thought, man, this is a great time, right? I don't have a job lined up in the Houston area.
Yeah.
I was working remotely for the security company still, and I put it together and just kind of started reaching out to places in my network and trying to grow it that way. The company started.
That's awesome. And you probably also help people avoid some of the risks inherent with HR, with human resources, with the people side of it, and insurance possibly. And we'll get into some of that later. But yeah, that's a great resource you're providing. Good for you.
Yeah, thanks.
And how'd you find your team? Did you guys work together at various jobs previously, or how'd that come about?
Yeah, so right now the team, it consists of me and two individuals. Mm-hmm. So one of the individuals, his name's Fletcher French, and he works for me in a staffing capacity as a staffing specialist.
Gotcha.
So Fletcher and I had worked together before at two different companies. We worked together at the Adventure Guild in Chattanooga, Tennessee. We started out as ziplining guides together. After a couple of years, I left the company naturally in my career path, and he actually stayed with the company and grew into an operations manager role with them running the zipline course.
Cool.
And he had really great experience with, you know, running that type of operation. Then later on, I know he was wanting to get into the people side of things. And I hired him on as an entry-level recruiter with the security company that I was working for. Yeah, so we worked together in the outdoor space, but then I also brought him on and I taught him how to, you know, do recruiting in the HR side of things. And he flourished, right?
Awesome.
He grew with the company. He is one of the best high-volume seasonal recruiters that I know of.
That's awesome.
With being able to get people in. And so I knew in this industry, there's such a huge emphasis on seasonal staffing. And I have a lot of experience with high volume recruiting, but it takes a village.
Yeah.
And so I thought I need to bring Fletcher on board because he understands the outdoor space as well from an operations side of it. But he also is a high performing volume recruiter.
Perfect.
So I brought him on board. And then I have another member who's our marketing specialist. Her name's Catherine Uva. And we have not previously worked together.
Okay.
She actually applied to a job posting.
Oh,
right?
Cool. Yeah.
And so her resume caught my eye. I reached out to her. She actually worked in a marketing role for several different camps and companies in the outdoor space. I mean, she worked as a program director with a camp. And the cool thing with us is that we're professionals in the business and HR space, but we also have, all of us have a background in outdoor industry, whether it's with camps or, you know, zip lining companies or working as a guide at various places. Mm-hmm. So that way we understand the industry that we're serving. And Catherine, she's been with us for a little while and she's been a, you know, fantastic addition to our team.
That's awesome. So what percentage of your business is camps related versus guide services, independent guide services, would you say?
Yeah. So right now, to be honest with you, and we're starting to grow rapidly, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone that we've been dealing with are more expedition guiding companies.
Interesting. Okay.
And camps. Yeah. And that's my background. So mm-hmm. when it was just me, that's who I was targeting. And now we're starting to move into also working with camps. There's so many similarities. There are differences as well, but camps need the resource as well. And so we're starting to market more towards camps and try to get in front of them as well.
Probably been closed during COVID, or at least scaled way back.
Yeah, with a lot of guiding services too. And every company is different, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some of them operated, some of them didn't operate. Some had a skeleton crew. Some that operated, they had more business than usual and they grew.
Right, yeah, right? We saw that here.
And so every company is unique and has their own differences.
And what kind of solutions do you offer those folks? Or do you offer anybody that would come to you with an HR need, for example?
So with our solutions, the main thing that we market to our potential clients is a, you know, reoccurring partnership between us and the customers. So for a fraction of, you know, what it would cost for them to hire on a full-time HR person or outsource to another company, they can bring us on board and basically they hire us on to be their HR team. They're needing to create policies for a change, whether it's COVID or they're changing their workplace structure, they can contact us and we can work on it. We're also there to handle employee relations when it comes to investigations. We're happy to give guidance when it comes to employee discipline, or we can actually do it ourselves. That doesn't bother us. But we tailor our partnership to the person that we're working with. And for one monthly fee, we can do anything HR when it comes to, helping out with compensation and benefits plans, from a strategic aspect to executive coaching, to training, to staffing, which is a huge area right now for companies with the labor market. And that's the main thing that we push, is the reoccurring partnerships, because that's what's going to be the most help to the company ongoing. And it's extremely affordable with us. And then another thing that we do is they can partner with us from just a staffing perspective. Sure. So we don't handle all the other HR stuff, we just do staff. And then on top of that, we can also do one-time special projects. If the company is saying, hey, this is my problem, can you help me with this? We can say, yeah, this is what we'll do, and quote them specific to that need.
Gotcha. What do you do?
So that's how our services are laid out.
And what do you do the most of? Most staffing, or is there one thing?
Yeah. And it's hard to answer that, right? Because when you look at it, we've had a lot of one-time projects where companies have said, I need help hiring for this one position that's difficult. However, the bulk of our work, when you look at it from the bulk of our work, the thing that we spend the most time with is the full services, where we're actually integrating our team as a member of the company, and we're interacting, with them daily, weekly, to handle everything. So when you look at our work that we do, the bulk is the one-time projects. However, the bulk of our time and resources is assisting with companies, and staffing is a huge part right now.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
When it comes to HR, with the labor market and the changes in COVID and a lot of cultural shifts over the last 2 years, staffing's huge. But there's the reason why I like the full HR side more than just staffing is because so many of your HR practice affect staffing, right? So your compensation and benefits affect staffing. Your company culture affects staffing. Everything plays a role. It's all intertwined together.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And good companies, so we both work for good companies. You can tell the reason the company is good is because they have their culture and their compensation and all those things work like an orchestra in unison. And the ones that aren't, they're all fragmented, and people come and go in those companies. Yeah. No, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a little break and give some love to our sponsor, Thrive Market. I've been shopping at Thrive Market for a while now and love their soups, snacks, and frozen meals. They have a good variety of organic soups that make lunches on a cold winter day quick and easy. I also stock up on their frozen meals for a quick dinner when I'm off to chase a sunset. Choose a free gift up to $24 in value when you purchase a Thrive Market membership. 1 year and 1 month memberships are available. Go to ricksays.com/Thrive Market and get your membership today. That's ricksays.com/Thrive Market. Now back to the show. And so how do you do the work? Do you physically go there? Probably now you do a lot by Zoom. What's that look like?
Yeah. So our team is fully remote, right?
Yep.
So for instance, I am in the Galveston, Texas area, but then Fletcher, our staffing person, he's in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And then Catherine, who works with our marketing and business development, she's in North Carolina, right? Yeah, so we are a remote team ourselves. And the great thing with COVID and even before COVID is if you set a company up well from the start, they can work remotely.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And these days, that's the one benefit of COVID. We've all gotten this remote work thing down pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. And we kind of set up our company to where that way we work remotely as a team internally, but we can actually support companies remotely as well. And we're able to do a lot through video calls, regular calls, emails, file sharing platforms, and also a lot of HR stuff that we handle on our end that the company necessarily doesn't deal with, such as applicant tracking systems. If you're posting a job and get 200 applicants, we're taking that away from the customer to have to deal with, right?
Yeah. So that makes sense.
A system that we use. And with that being said, we are able to travel as well for a client if they need us to.
Sure.
For example, I have a really fantastic client that we do the full house HR for, and they do expeditions to Antarctica. They're one of the only privately owned inland Antarctica expedition company. And I guess their bread and butter starting out was offering climbing trips up Mount Vincent for people that are looking to do the Seven Summits.
Oh, gotcha.
And so, and I work with them, and they're actually an international company. The owners are in Australia and the UK, and then they have an office in Salt Lake City, Utah. But then they also have another office in Punta Arenas, Chile. Mm-hmm. And then they have their base camp in Union Glacier, Antarctica. right?
Wow, cool.
And yeah, everything's remote, but if you need us to travel, we can. So for instance, I'm traveling with them at the end of their season to go down to Antarctica and Chile to do exit interviews with all of their staff that are coming off the ice. So that way we can look at the season with our staff from an analytical perspective to see how we can improve on culture with the staff members.
Right. Can you share the name of that company? We'll give them a little
link. Of course. So the company is called Antarctic Logistics and Expeditions. And it's a really unique company that's been very eye-opening for me. They have about 120 seasonal staff, which is a pretty large organization.
It's a lot of people to keep on the ice down there. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And we have a team of doctors. We have our own meteorologists because they actually operate the largest airstrip in Antarctica, which is on Blue Ice Runway. And so we have pilots, we have guides, we have cooks. Wow. And the cool thing, too, from a diversity standpoint, is that our team is made up of people from over 25 different nationalities.
That's
So we have people that are from Japan, from Argentina, from Russia, from France, from the U.S. And in Antarctica, it's no one has, I guess, home field advantage. And so it's a very unique work environment, which has been eye-opening from my perspective from a global perspective.
Yeah, that sounds like a huge success story for you. I was going to ask you about that, but not only success, but just what a great learning experience, right? You're just getting all kinds of experience that you can transfer to other clients. That's awesome.
Yeah, they're a great group to work with, and they do a lot of winter sports, right? So they initially did climbing, but they also do skiing and snowboarding.
Yeah,
trips in Antarctica. They've recently started offering skydiving trips in Antarctica. Mm-hmm. They do penguin expeditions. They've done marathons. And they're very...
That's awesome.
They do a lot. And then you asked about success stories. Another success story that I like to share with potential clients because it shows the value of human resources in the workplace. Mm-hmm. Not when I was with HR Outfitter, but when I was with another company working as an HR man, the biggest thing was recruiting and cost associated to employee overtime, because that's a huge cost that companies, if they can capitalize on it, but it saves their bottom dollar.
Yeah,
right.
Yep,
but if you don't, it can run wild from an operational perspective. So this company that I worked for in 2017, cost associated just to overtime, right? The differential in overtime costs from regular pay. The difference in a year's time was $332,000, which they had 600 employees.
That's a big number, though.
That's still a lot of money. No, it very much is. And that's just hidden costs that companies don't necessarily look for if they don't have an HR perspective or mindset when they're looking at the books, because those costs are hidden in operational costs, payroll, things like that. When I got there in 2018, in the beginning of 2018, and I looked at a lot of our processes to create lean processes when it comes to recruiting and onboard, and ultimately the company culture as well. In 2018, we were able to reduce that to $240,000. Which is still a huge number,
but
$93,000 less.
Yeah, big chunk off
the previous. And then in 2019, we were able to perfect that number and get it down to $155,000, which when you look at 2019 versus 2017, we reduced that cost by 53%, was $177,000. And so I look at things analytically, right, when it comes to human resources and business operations. And so I think that's a huge win.
Huge win. Right. That goes right to the bottom line.
Exactly.
Win. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. $175,000 reoccurring yearly just from looking at human resources and how it affects your team.
Well, and you also pointed out
a huge success story.
Yeah. And you also pointed out the challenge so they could keep an eye on it and mitigate it. If you don't even know it exists, it's just going to run rampant. But once it exists, you can work to keep it reduced. That's another win. So yeah, good for you. How about something that was uniquely challenging?
Yeah,
you can talk about it.
So there's tons of unique challenges in HR, right? Because however, one that was unique, not necessarily because it was challenging, but just because it was different, was going back to the Antarctica company that's global and COVID. So they weren't able to operate in the 2020 to 2021 season because Chile had closed down the border. All of their staff and clients go through Chile to access Antarctica. And there was a year that we weren't operating. And then up until recently, Chile just announced that they were reopening their border and put all these COVID regulations in place. And so from a business operations perspective, the question was, are we going to be able to operate? Is Chile going to open their border or are they not? Right. And so as soon as Chile announced, hey, we're open, the decision was made, we are operating this season. And so myself and another team member that was with ALE, we basically had to rush to get the staff that we needed. There was a ton of return from previous staff, but then you're also coordinating travel from across the globe, having to meet Chile COVID regulations, and are flying a bunch of staff to Ireland and the Bahamas, but they also have to do those countries' COVID regulations as well. And so it was just, it was unique, number one, because you're dealing with the global aspect, but then also COVID regulations from different government agencies. Yeah, huge logistics side of things mixed with the human side of it. Luckily, it's a great team that we work with there, and everything's taken care of, and we're having, you know, a great season.
That's great.
In Antarctica.
Yeah, I was down there, years ago on a Sobek trip. It's awesome down there. I'm itching to go back, but pretty cool.
Yeah, I haven't been yet, so I'm looking forward when I get to go.
It's very cool. Yeah, you'll dig it. So. Yeah, you'll dig it. Yeah, pretty fun. Let's shift gears a little bit. What outdoor activities do you participate in?
Yeah, so with my background, I do a little bit of everything. I guess the bread and butter of my activities is wilderness primitive camping, right? Not like an RV park, but going out where you have to backpack to a camp, to a campsite, or canoe trip and kayaking trip. So the water sports I'm big in, and then of course I also like backpacking, and I've done stuff with climbing before as well.
Cool.
But I love the overnight trips.
Do you get out a lot? Do you get like once a month or?
Yeah, so my wife and I, when we got married, we made a goal to go camping once a month, and we've been married for over 2 years, and we've done it.
Good for you. That's
surprisingly
awesome.
Once a month we go camping.
That's great.
Overnight, you know. During COVID, even if it was just in the backyard, and we still did it.
Yeah, good for you. And do you have any suggestions or advice for folks wanting to get into the outdoor adventure biz?
Yeah, I think a big thing with business in a whole, right, is to grow and utilize your professional network. It's important to know your skill sets, but it's also important to have those social interactions with people in the industry, because you never know where it's going to lead down the road. And I guess kind of some recommendations for applicants, right? Because I deal with a ton of applicants. Okay. Yeah, some more direct advice is, number one, work on your soft skills. Companies a lot of times are willing to train people on the hard skills, but soft skills such as personality interactions, the way you present yourself in an interview, are just things that you need to work with that ultimately have a huge effect on if you get a job or not. So I would work on, you know, your soft skills. Make sure you do have a professional, good, clean resume. Don't have typos in it. That doesn't look good if your resume has typos in it. And then also set your voicemail up on your phone. I can't tell you how many times I've tried to call someone for an interview and they don't have a voicemail set up. Their voicemail boxes. And so then we can't interview them because we can't get in touch with them. And so those are some realistic, do those things.
No, those are good practical tips too. I guess a lot of people don't think to clear their email out or voicemail out, but you got to do it. Yeah. It doesn't do itself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, interesting. How about, what's your favorite outdoor gear purchase under $100?
Oh, yeah. So I love this question, right?
I think this is the hardest question I ask people. Every time I ask, oh, God, it's so hard. There's so many great things.
Yeah, so I do have a good go-to for this for under $100. There's a company called Granite Gear, which is a great gear company, and they make a compression dry sack. I believe it's called the Vent Seal compression dry sack, if I'm not mistaken. And it compresses really well, but it's waterproof. Now I can keep my sleeping bag in there and throw it in a lake, and then I pull my sleeping bag out and it's dry.
Perfect.
And so it has that waterproof and compression, and it's $30, maybe a little bit more than $30. So it's very affordable.
Yeah. We'll find that link to that in the show notes. Yeah. Rob was on my show, a bunch of episodes ago. I've known him for years. I think he's the VP there. Or he's up there. He and I were sales guys together back in the day, but now he's moving on up there. He's doing a good job. They have cool stuff.
Yeah. And working many years as a wilderness canoe guide, I love the brand because that's kind of what they specialize in.
Exactly. Yeah. And you guys have a special offer for our listeners to take advantage of your services, right?
Yeah. We have a special offer, but for any business that's out there in the outdoor industry, because we work with outfitters, camps, companies, anyone that's related to the outdoor recreation industry, I'd love to give them a free 30-minute consultation on a problem that they just need advice with, whether it's a yeah, 30 minutes, run something by me. I can tell you, hey, this is probably what you should do in this scenario. Or, hey, we're trying to recruit for these types of positions. How would you recommend, you know, us trying to hire for? Yeah, 30 minutes for free. I'll give you my advice. I'm not going to withhold information. Okay. So I'll give them advice. You can just reach out to us on our website or calling us at our phone number, which is 409-333-0079.
Cool.
And let us know that you heard about us through Outdoor Biz Podcast. And yeah, we'll set you up.
Awesome. We'll put a link to that in the show notes too. People will take advantage of that. I would think the staffing thing is pretty high on everybody's list right now. You read about it in the
yes.
on the news all the time. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. As we wrap up,
yeah,
anything else?
It's just a crazy.
Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say the staffing is crazy right now with the job market in every industry. And I know the outdoor space is filling it huge.
Yeah,
So yeah, I hope they take advantage of that.
I'm sure people will. Yeah, we'll put a link to that. That'd be great. Yeah. And is there anything else you'd like to say or ask of listeners as we wrap up here?
I don't have anything, you know, specific to say. I just know we're a relatively new company that focuses specifically on the outdoor industry. And our goal is to partner with the companies to help make them, you know, more efficient and really capitalize on the potential of their staff and human capital. So, you know, anyone that's interested, I'd love to connect with them to see how we could possibly work together.
We'll link to all that. We'll put your phone number there. We'll put your website there. And we'll put all your social stuff there on the show notes and share it out there. And reach out to John and he can help you, it sounds like. Help everybody.
Yes, I can.
We all need help. But John, it's been great talking to you. I appreciate the time. And I look forward to meeting you at a trade show or something one of these days.
Yeah, I'll be at the America Outdoors Trade Show in December if you're going to be there.
So. Okay, I don't have plans, but you never know. That could change. Yeah, that could change. Awesome. Thanks, man.
Awesome. Thank you for having me on the show. I enjoy listening to it as a viewer, so it's great to be on it myself.
Oh, cool. I appreciate that. Thanks.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of the Outdoor Biz Podcast. Be sure to visit our website, theoutdoorbizpodcast.com, where you'll find show notes with links to everything we talked about and more. Subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you'll never miss an episode. And while you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes. Or spread the word and tell a friend about the show. That would really help us out too. Be sure to tune in every week. And thanks again for listening to the Outdoor Biz Podcast with Rick Saez.